I love me some Gospel According to Mark. And it's not just because I'm married to a Mark. And it's not just because I have a brother named Mark. And I had a couple of uncles named Mark. And we have lots of Mark friends. It's the way Mark tells this story. It's so succinct. It is so dry. It's just immediately this, and then this happens, and then this happens, and that's the way it is. And I love this account of the resurrection because I think it's the most realistic thing. So most ancient authorities agree that the Gospel of Mark ends with verse 8. The women go to the tomb, which is what we read today. The women go to the tomb with spices. They're ready to do what needed to be done in accordance with their religious customs. But they find Jesus' body is missing, and there's a stranger there at the tomb. And this stranger says, no, Jesus has been raised. And he's going on ahead of you to Galilee. And they're told to go tell the disciples. But guess what? They are shocked. They are in terror. They are amazed. And so what do they do? Nothing. They do nothing. Terror and amazement had seized them, and so they go and they tell nothing to anyone. So why are we all here? If they told no one, why are we here? Someone said something to someone. That's where the text ends. It's forever suspending these faithful women in fear and surprise. This is what I love about Mark. It leaves the women where I think you and I would be. Certainly me. They are locked in this waiting place between two actions, between two scenes. And they are forever locked there because that's where the Gospel of Mark ends. They're locked between this action on behalf of death, the anointing of that body, and this action on behalf of life, go and tell. And they're caught somewhere in between. Now, we have felt this very thing. What comes to mind immediately for me is the pandemic. You all remember that. We were caught in between things. We are suspended between life and death, between looking back and looking forward. We were caught in a world that felt marooned between before pandemic and after pandemic. But in our individual lives, too, we have all felt the weariness of being suspended indefinitely between one part of life and another. Before the diagnosis and after. Before the death of a loved one and after. Before the loss of a job and after. Not knowing what will come next or how to meet the challenge or whether or not we have the strength to navigate through uncharted waters and not knowing the outcome. This sounds very familiar to me. In fact, last night, I've got a house full of people right now. And my brother and I stayed up until about 1:30 talking, which is what we normally do. And we talked about this very thing, that being suspended, the not knowing, the being afraid. And this is the place where Mark chooses to leave those poor women who followed Jesus right in the in-between. He doesn't resolve it for them. Later on, people added things. They added the shorter ending of Mark, as it's called. You'll see that in the Bible. It'll say the shorter ending of Mark. And it's a few verses about right after they told nothing to anyone. It's right after that it says, and they went and told everyone. I mean, that's basically the shorter ending of Mark. And then you also get the longer ending of Mark. And that's where they go and tell people, but then they aren't believed. And then Jesus comes into the picture and he's real mad because the disciples didn't believe the women when they went and told them. That's basically the longer ending of Mark. And so I love just leaving it where it originally was. In that frightening moment where we find ourselves so often. So the Gospel of Mark itself has that similar effect. And we can take a look at the structure. And I just told you about the three different endings. And this is the way we translate the original Greek into English. So listen to this last verse again. So the women went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That's how we translate it. That's in most translations will go there. It's accurate, but it's not literal. If we follow the Greek exactly, you're going to get a Greek lesson this morning. If we follow the Greek exactly, the very last word of the sentence in Greek is gar. Gar means for, or because, or on account of. So it literally reads like this. And to none, nothing they spoke. They were afraid on account of. That's how it literally reads. Now, the other thing you have to know about Greek is that word placement is really important. So the last word of a sentence and the first word of a sentence are extremely important. So if the last word of your sentence is because, or on account of, or for, that would naturally lead you to something else. And that's where we get to this morning. So, some of you are as long in the tooth as I am, maybe longer. And you may remember what we called continuous loop films. Do you remember those? Where they'd be like in Fayed, you'd have a particular skill that you needed to work on. And so you would watch this skill on film, and it'd be just a few steps, and then it would play again. It was on a continuous loop. Does anyone remember that, or is that just my experience? Do I see it? Oh, no, you don't. Okay, well, all right. Okay, I explained it to you. So let's use that. But that's how this Gospel of Mark could work. If we assume that the gar, the for, or the on account of, or the because, ends up as that last word, which it does literally, that could lead us back to the beginning. It could lead us back to the beginning. What's at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark? It is these words: the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So what that tells me is they were afraid because of the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Why would they be afraid of that? It's good news. We had a very somber Good Friday here. And we hammered nails, and I could hear those nails being hammered in my office when I got down there. People were hammering nails. I heard that. That hurt. And so now this morning we can say, hey, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Why would they be afraid of that? Because the good news of God in Jesus Christ is good, but it is also, and maybe more importantly, challenging and outlandish and upsetting of the status quo. From the book Outlandish, the quote is this: Jesus' life challenged and eventually undermined the social and political realities of his day. He wasn't interested in the status quo. And so what we learn from Jesus is that the good news requires us to repent of our own self-important viewpoints, our comfortable acceptance of salvation in the next life, as if this life was only something to be endured rather than explored. The good news requires us to challenge the status quo, to give ourselves away on behalf of others, and to place God above everything else. Truly following Jesus means that we cannot help but live differently from the world around us. Pope Francis, in his Easter Vigil homily from 2021, said this: with Jesus, life will change. By golly, I hope so. It's the with that's important in what he says. God is living and active among us in all things. The resurrection is not this one-off event. Resurrection happens over and over again as we painstakingly attempt to be part of God's vision for creation. God wants to work on all this with us, through us. And so we try, and we fail, and we try, and we fail, and we try, and we fail, and we are suspended between what we know to be true in this world and what God knows to be true about God's love. And yet God is with us. The women were supposed to go and tell the other disciples that Jesus was alive and was going ahead of them to Galilee. And the message was that he would be wherever they sought him, already waiting on the other side of that indefinite moment of time. Well, we know. We know, obviously, someone did tell the story. Someone did manage to break out of her fear and amazement, her shock and awe, and spread the message that Jesus was alive and would meet them on the way. Someone had to have said something because we are here. And so if you are feeling suspended at this time, between one moment in life and another, if you are helpless, frozen, indecisive, weary, frustrated, anxious, you know what I'm talking about. Know that Jesus goes ahead of you wherever life is taking you. Life will change if we follow him. And it's going to be challenging and frustrating and frightening and dangerous at times. But Jesus will always meet us on the way. So I want to close with another quote from Pope Francis's homily that year. God cannot be filed away among our childhood memories, but is alive and filled with surprises. Faith is not an album of past memories. Jesus is not outdated. He is alive here and now. He opens new doors when you least expect it. He urges you not to indulge in nostalgia for the past or cynicism about the present, even if you feel that all is lost, as those women did. Let yourself be open to the amazement of the newness that Jesus brings. He will surely surprise you, and he will be walking ahead of you. Amen. And we say